Sunday night. This is our final Celebrity Apprentice podcast for the year.
Take two.
Reed Kerr here with my lovely wife, Kimberly.
Hello.
Yes, I lost the first podcast, so we're redoing this one. So it'll be twice as funny for us. How about that?
Well,
or maybe not.
It'll give us a chance to leave out all the unfunny stuff.
It's a run through. The first one was a run through. So.
Yeah.
All right. So we were down to the Celebrity Apprentice, and the final two, John Rich and Marley Matlin, and I just didn't care at all who won, to be honest with you. They both did a good job. I didn't dislike either of them. I wasn't a huge fan of either of them. I thought they were both okay. There was no conflict left, really.
Well, in past years, there was more of a kind of a villain and, you know, somebody you were rooting for. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, like the first year.
Pierce Morgan beat Trace Adkins.
Yeah.
Pierce Morgan is a jackass.
I was rooting for Trace. The second year was Joan and Annie.
Right.
And I really didn't have anything against either of them, I guess. Annie was.
Yeah, but they hated each other.
Yeah.
Conflict was there. And then last year, Brett Michaels and Holly Robinson Peete.
Which both were very likable. I mean,
right.
Brett had his brain fall out.
And, you know,
exactly.
He was the star of the moment, and they kind of lucked into that.
Yeah,
I didn't really care. I finished watching it to complete the string, I guess.
Right. Yeah, it stopped being interesting, one, when Gary Busey went home, and two, when NeNe went home, because then there was no conflict with anyone on the women's team, and, you know, then Star followed in the same episode. He sent her home. So.
Right. Well, we started off tonight with the 7-Up tasks.
Yes.
Marley had the 70s and the Harlem Globetrotters. Feel the Love. And they found the guy from the 70s commercials.
Jeffrey Holden.
Ah, that guy.
Yeah. Which I loved those old 7-Up commercials.
Yeah. And why does it take Marley Matlin to point out to the 7-Up people that you should get him back on your commercials?
I do not know. But it was kind of funny watching them watch the commercial.
Yeah.
The one guy, I don't remember the executives, I don't remember their names, but the one with dark hair that was kind of balding, the one without the gray flat top.
Yeah, the one that didn't look like the coach in every 50s movie.
Exactly. Yeah. He actually was shocked. I mean, I think he even said, oh my God. Mm-hmm. I mean, whenever he saw that Jeffrey Holden was in their commercial. Of course, that was the only thing that was remarkable about their commercial. It was pretty cheesy. I mean, Richard Hatch and an afro wig, and, you know, Meatloaf was kind of funny.
Meatloaf is relevant to the 70s,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that definitely. The LaToya character, the superhero that says, I hold your hopes.
Yes.
Made no damn sense.
None of that at all.
I was really hoping that was just something they showed in the episode, but that wasn't really going to make it into the commercial, but it did.
They were going to edit her out of the take. Yeah.
Of the two, I mean, right from the get-go, whenever they chose, and she chose the Harlem Globetrotters over Def Leppard, you know, we kind of commented on two different things. First of all, Marley, music means nothing, I'm assuming.
Right.
Music doesn't mean anything
to Marley.
Well,
she didn't know Dionne Warwick, for example.
Yeah, I mean, she's deaf. And then you said something about maybe she didn't appreciate their name.
Yeah, maybe she wouldn't want to do a band called Def Leppard.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
She actually picked first, you know, and Harlem Globetrotters. And John Rich was surprised by that because obviously of the two, he felt like Def Leppard was the better choice. So he was happy to get them. I thought that their idea for their commercial and everything, which was kind of funny.
The 80s commercial?
Yes. Did you notice, you know, Lil Jon was supposed to be the one responsible for coming up with the concept of the commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And then that did not happen. I don't even remember who suggested the whole audition thing or whatever, but it wasn't Lil Jon. He was kind of wiped out at that point.
Yeah.
But between the two, I thought that their concept was actually better.
Mm-hmm.
I do agree. They talked about it a little bit later in the boardroom. I do agree that the 80s team, John Rich's team, I think that it was definitely much more striking than the disco ball, you know. Because it just kind of, from a distance, it just looks like another silver can. It could be a Sprite can. It could be anything.
Yeah.
So.
And the first commercial just showed people from the 70s. It didn't actually indicate that Sprite would, pardon me, 7-Up. I apologize to the 7-Up Corporation International, that the 7-Up did anything. In the second one, you had Dee Snider turn into Dee Snider drinking the 7-Up. And again, isn't it weird? Dee Snider is the symbol of the 80s to some people.
Yeah.
Twisted Sister wasn't nearly as huge as their reputation was.
I would have picked Brett Michaels to come back.
Well, Bret Michaels will cost you now.
Yeah, probably.
You
know,
if you want to go get Janie Lane or Kip Winger or somebody, they'll probably come pretty easy.
Yeah, but everybody would be like, huh?
Exactly. There are not a lot of guys from the 80s that you could get that would have, that people would immediately go, oh, dude, that's the guy from so-and-so.
Right.
Dee Snider, David Lee Roth, but he would cause your team to break up. You know, there's not a lot. You're not going to get the, you know, Richard Page from Mr. Mister is not going to show up and do a 7-Up commercial all of a sudden.
And who would know if he did?
That's true. I mean, somewhere he's just thrilled that train song that they play all the damn time mentioned him. So,
oh, yeah.
But anyway, I thought the commercial was pretty good. They put on the show with the Harlem Globetrotters, Marley did, and that was fine. Then John Rich puts on the show with Def Leppard, and he tries to have them on stage 20 minutes before they're in the building.
Well, okay, so just lost my headphones.
How's those headphones working out
that
for you?
That started last week with, I really don't like not being able to hear myself.
Well, put the headphones back
I'm
on.
I'm putting them back on. Shut it.
You know what it is? You just washed your hair, and it's all slippery.
That's right.
That's it. There's no product in it to make it hang on.
So true. What was I talking about?
Your hair product? No, you were talking about. We were talking about the
Globetrotters. Oh, okay. Okay. Def Leppard. That started last week. John Rich calling like their tour manager. He had an idea in mind that he wanted.
Malvin. Yes.
Malvin. He spoke with him and he wanted someone. Rick Allen, obviously, since he is a drummer, wanted him on stage with the kick drum. With a beat while he was out there, you know, announcing something or whatever.
He wanted to sing a little 7-Up Rocks the Country song.
Yes. Yeah. And on the phone, when he was discussing it with this dude, the guy completely shut him down and kind of said, you know, no, the whole band is going to come out at one time whenever you announce them. John Rich was not happy about that. He wasn't, you know, he really felt like, and I agree that it is for charity and you should kind of put egos and things like that aside for charity. So he was already all worked up about that. And when they got there, he was going to tell them and blah, blah, blah. That did not happen.
No, it did not.
Whenever they got there, you know, he, of course, had to explain to them what St. Jude's Hospital was because they're from England. They know nothing of it. They probably don't have insurance over there. I don't know.
I'm not sure. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure about them. Anyway.
Let's not get political.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing about St. Jude's Hospital is that it takes any kid, you know, regardless of their ability to pay insurance, no insurance, whatever. So, so he was trying to kind of get them on his side by telling them how, you know, important this was for the charity. And he starts explaining to him what he wanted. And Rick Allen just stares at him. I mean, just kind of like, you know, and he's trying to be nice about it. John Rich is trying to be nice about it. Mm-hmm. And finally they're just like, no, you know, well, you know, what you could do is just what you just did right there. Yes.
Just stomp your own foot.
So John Rich like gets up on the stage to try that out. And he's just like, yeah, okay. That could work, you know? And so in his little interview that they showed, you know, him alone, he was just like, well, you know, once I met them, you know, they're just regular guys and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he kind of acted like they got everything worked out, like they understood. And that didn't happen. I mean, They basically said no. They basically said no. And they just convinced him that he could stand up there and be like Mr. Ed, you know, just counting out on the stage. And he went with that.
Right.
So.
Although at the end, it did look like Rick Allen was at least playing along with him while he was stomping it after having to kill 20 minutes of time.
Yeah.
That was one of the rare moments that we see something on the promo that actually happens.
Yes.
Because we saw Def Leppard. Def Leppard's not here. And we thought, oh, they're lying. They're editing that.
So yes.
They're actually here.
Definitely.
No, they weren't there.
Right. They really weren't there. John Rich got the time messed up. It was 6:40 and the band wasn't, you'd think he would have at least before he came out noticed whether they were even hanging out backstage.
Yeah. Cause he wasn't out front interviewing and schmoozing with the 7-Up
right.
people. He was backstage. I would think as a musician, you'd want to make sure they were in house.
So when he found out that they weren't going to be there till 7, cause he's like asking the roadie, he's like, well, how soon can they get here? And the guy's like 7.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't playing, you know, there was no like, oh, we'll try to rush him down here. So anyway, So after some...
Yeah, Def Leppard and their management are unfamiliar with the concept of the Celebrity Apprentice. They don't give a rat's ass about it, apparently. Yeah.
I wonder why they selected them.
They were home. I don't know. They answered the phone. Leppard is still...
Yeah, I mean, they are still a touring band.
You know, my buddy Poole sees them every damn chance he gets, you know.
I don't know. But so eventually John Rich, you know, got his guitar and borrowed a pick from a roadie and went out there and played some songs.
That's all the roadie basically did. He handed him, you know, about a quarter's worth of plastic. There you go. Get out of my way, whatever your name is.
So John Rich goes out and sings the song, you know, Donald Trump, please don't fire me. And then, of course, he sang the only Big and Rich song that I know is the Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy.
You think he just sang that for 20 minutes? Because I don't know any of those
songs. I don't know. They didn't show him sing anything else. Right. So, I don't know.
Hey, he's got some requests. Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy. All right, I'll sing again. You guys, if you're going to twist my arm.
So, you know, they kind of made a big deal about that, that was a major snafu, you know, showed Trump being all upset. Yeah, and
he should have
gone quicker.
He should have, get out there, tell the joke.
Yeah.
Do your Gary Busey impression, whatever you got.
As soon as he knew that they weren't going to be there till 7, he, which, you know, who knows how long it took in real time. So, you know, he got out there and the executives seemed to, you know, between the two, what are people going to enjoy more? Watching the Harlem Globetrotters, blah, or a rock concert.
Depends on your audience.
I guess.
I mean, if you're...
I mean, those dudes were older, but...
Okay, the guys in the front row at the Leppard concert were the same guys that I went to see Def Leppard in 1987 with, screaming and yelling the lyrics and, you know, right there up front at the stage. They were pretty much transplanted from 1987 at Hirsch Memorial Coliseum where I saw Lep. The older people in the 7-Up Corporation probably would have enjoyed seeing the Harlem Globetrotters because it's more of a family thing. Because you got to be really young to enjoy the Globetrotters because it's the same crap they've been doing since the 70s.
Okay, but that
I hate the Harlem Globetrotters. Have I said that? I'm sorry. Let me just... I've been around them. I've worked at a building where they played there, and they're just... It's all good on the court and everything else. It's like a rock and roll sex circus coming to town. I just don't want to... I was unimpressed with the with
do the people Globies. Actually want to sleep with them? The Harlem Globetrotters?
People want to sleep with everybody. Yeah. I think they did pretty well when they came to town, judging from the way that they remembered names and positions. I mean, at the place where I work, not actual numerical Kama Sutra positions. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Anyway, I can see how that would be good for families because, let's face it, young kids are the only ones that haven't seen the Globetrotters shtick. It's a bucket of confetti. Oh, you got me again, you evil Globies. Yeah, great. Great. Why don't you run that double stack at the top of the key again where everybody runs in a circle? Never seen that before. Anyway, you know, I think probably the people who were there probably would have probably enjoyed John Rich singing also. You know, he killed time 15, 20 minutes. They probably knew him as well as they knew Leppard.
But of course, it didn't fit in with the theme. I mean, the retro. No. So
he should have had to do 80s songs.
Yeah.
should you do some Madonna? You know, that's why
you should have been able to roll.
You should always have a couple of songs in your back pocket.
Exactly.
Headphones are right there.
Yeah, it's poking my earring into my head. Shut it.
That's why I don't wear earrings when I wear headphones. Okay. All right, so anyway, the two campaigns went on. I thought both were pretty good. And everybody seemed to love everybody on this. Nobody wanted to vote against anybody. Nobody wanted to vote for anybody. They bring everybody out, and everybody's got to say they both did a great job immediately. And most people wouldn't even pick.
Well, they brought all the fired celebrities, right. I use that word loosely, out. And, you know, wanted to talk to them about them being fired. They had David Cassidy out, which we barely remembered had even been on the show. And, of course, the one person that was missing tonight was...
his arch nemesis, Richard Hatch.
Richard Hatch.
And they asked Cassidy about that. Mm-hmm. And I do always enjoy an honest answer, I tell you.
He's bitter. That's all I got to say. I mean, he came off as kind of bitchy and petty on the show, and that's really him. That doesn't seem to be editing on his part, because whenever Trump asked him, you know, how he felt about the fact that, you know, Hatch was in prison, Are you looking at that because like it's not recording or something?
No, we're still recording. Go right ahead. Because
I'll kill you if I have to do this again.
This is our second
pass. I can barely remember what I've said on the last one and this one. And so
you don't listen when you talk either. That's
forgive me if I repeat myself. Anyway, so Cassidy basically said that Richard Hatch is where he deserves to be where he's at.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really kind of harsh. I mean, for a dude that just... I mean, that's what... I don't really understand these people is it's... a game. It's strategy. You're not right. supposed to be everybody's best friend.
Right.
And anybody that's ever seen Survivor knows Richard Hatch was fairly ruthless in Survivor.
Yeah. He was a gay, naked, no tax paying supervillain.
I didn't really see that he did anything that bad.
No. But to say, well, the guy called me short, so I hope he gets anal raped. That to me is just a little petty on Cassidy's part.
He didn't even call him. I mean, whenever they were in the boardroom, he did say something about picking on little people, and Cassidy's like, I'm not a little person. And well, you know.
He's like a foot and a half shorter than, you know, Hatch is a big dude, which might help him in the pokey. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah.
Hey, okay. At least Cassidy got to speak. You know, Nikki Taylor and Hope, true. What's her name, didn't say a word.
Nikki Taylor, man. I told you a couple weeks ago, I didn't really necessarily agree with her coming back and working on the men's team anyway. But I would have liked for Trump to have said something to her about the fact that, you know, after watching the show back, did she have any regrets on basically, you know, taking responsibility for everything that happened with her team when Dionne Warwick... Where was Dionne? She wasn't Dionne there tonight either.
We've been talking about this for 2 hours. We just noticed Dionne didn't return.
I'm not surprised that cranky old bitch.
Is she in prison? Did she?
Now, her, I could get behind being in prison. All the money that she stole from people back in the 80s with her Psychic Friends network.
Yeah, you know, the Psychic Friends pretty much all died out after, you know, roughly, I'd say September the 12th.
Didn't LaToya have her own psychic network?
I don't recall.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't recall.
Anyway.
I want to call the other Jackson psychic hotline.
I don't know. But anyway, right. But no, they didn't talk to Nikki. They didn't talk to Hope. Which was fine with me.
Which is, when you're on that show, you're on the show for two reasons. You're on the show to raise money for your charity, and you're on the show to... expand your popularity, because everybody that's on the show is popular in their own circles. You know, John Rich is big in Nashville in the country circuit. Lil John is big in hip hop. Hope is big among chronic masturbators. You know, Gary Busey is big among people who love to hear insane people babble. You know, but when you get on the show, then suddenly, you know, my mom knows who you are. People, that's, I always go with the mom test. Would somebody's mom know who a certain person is?
Right.
You know, we do this a lot in sports. LeBron, everybody knows LeBron. Dwayne Wade, you know, not so much. You know, it's there's famous, and then there's just superstars. And those people aren't superstars. They're just famous. And so when you're on the show, it expands your horizons. Well, mm-hmm. Hope didn't really do that. Nikki Taylor didn't really do that. Busey did, because now everybody knows Busey's crazy. Lil Jon probably hurt himself in the hip hop community with how dependable and, you know, good and hardworking.
He was a really good guy.
Yeah, he was. And he, you know,
I didn't hear him say yeah or
him and
what.
And him and John Rich becoming such good friends. I can't help but think this is going to be an awful crossover album out of this somewhere.
You think it's going to be a Nelly Tim McGraw situation?
Oh God, that's, yeah, I just don't see that as.
The only problem with that is I don't want to sleep with either one of them.
But you wanted to sleep with Nelly and Tim McGraw?
No.
So it's basically...
bothered by Nelly's Band-Aids.
They were all for his brother who's in prison or something.
Whatever.
I think Jimmy Kimmel made a really funny joke about that. Something about prison and anal rape and Band-Aids. And I don't believe Nelly took kindly to it.
Probably not.
But it was funny.
But yes, I do love Tim McGraw.
Is Nelly relevant anymore?
I don't know.
Because, you know, in hip-hop, you usually get like one huge blockbuster album and then you're gone. Snoop Dogg is the exception and not the rule.
I don't know.
You know. Okay, just checking.
You know, that's not my genre.
That's not your genre. No. Right. Okay, Busey comes back and we get the slideshow of Busey's greatest never pet a burning dog, don't fry bacon naked, all of his insanity. And then he finally took him like 8 times, but he got the damn kite story out.
Well, it's funny because, you know, he starts telling the story just like he did when he made his pitch.
Yes.
And Trump everybody kind of started laughing because that it did sound exactly like it. And Trump finally just cut him off and told him to shut up and went on to like the next person.
And then he started it again.
Well, he came back to Meatloaf and asked Meatloaf how he felt about Gary Busey. And so that gave Gary, I guess, permission to speak again. So he insisted, oh, I know what it was. He started talking about the kite thing again. Meatloaf stands up and is like, okay, good night, everybody. We're leaving. And Gary like pulls away from him and goes over to the conference room table or whatever and pulls out this kite. And he says that Omaha Steaks is packaging these kites with their steaks now, which I find so hard to believe. But anyway, so yeah, maybe he got that out.
Yeah, it was no bad publicity. So I guess
it was kind of goofy, but whatever.
As seen on TV.
I've never seen a kite that you could fold up like that. I mean,
I've seen them in the little toy shops.
Really?
You know, I don't see kids playing kites anymore. I don't see kids with kites. It's like backgammon boards.
I thought kites had to have like a little wood piece or plastic piece to have it hold its shape.
I think you can put a garbage bag up in the sky if you wanted to. It doesn't have much of a shape, but it'll float there for
a while.
You
mean like a white trash bag, you know?
Like the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Exactly.
Yes.
American Beauty reference, y'all.
Yes. So we had Busey for a little while, and then we have Nene and Star, and finally the showdown that we were hoping to get, and we never did, and really we still didn't.
Yeah, it kind of petered out. Trump tried to act like he didn't hate Nene, but I'm pretty sure he does. The last couple weeks, she's, you know, since she went home, since she left the show. She's given quite a few interviews and she doesn't say anything good about Trump. On her Twitter, I mean, the night that she quit, I even mentioned her in some Twitter things about how I noticed that she wasn't really responding to anyone that called her a coward or anything like that. She was only retweeting the people that are like, oh, I'm not surprised you left, and you know, all that. So anyway, she was on Wendy Williams' show last week, and she doesn't really address anything about it specific. She just says that it's what was best for her, that it was too negative and all this stuff. What basically happened was she threw a little hissy fit because she got moved from her team to the other team.
Right. She saw that.
She felt like that Star was the one that was doing something wrong, and she was the one being punished.
Right.
Instead of just taking it for what it is, it's a stupid show. You're supposed to be there working to, you know, get money for your charity.
Well, the whole thing is, as I said at the time, the whole thing was just a plot by Trump and the producers to get them on separate teams so they'd both survive to the finals, because that would have been a money finals. That would have been two people that hated each other, but Nene had to go and screw it up, and because she screwed it up, well, there's no point in keeping Star around if nobody's fighting. Because
she's not likable.
No, Star is not
likable. Nobody was going to be rooting, and nobody was going to be tuning in to just see Star by herself.
But I did think it was funny the way that Star, who is a lawyer, handled Nene. She got a dig in on Nene, and then she got on her about screaming at both the black women on the show.
Well, what she's
Then on top of that goes, but hey, we're just here to support John and Marley and all their charities.
Well, and meanwhile, Nene's over there yelling and screaming.
You know, Nene just loses it because she's wanting to fight about the first thing, but Star works the second thing in there. So when Nene starts screaming, it seems like she's angry at charity. You know, that's a good that's lawyering somebody in the extreme right there.
Yeah, and Nene does not know how to remain calm.
No.
You know, Star, the whole show, I mean, anytime that she and Nene got into it or whatever, she was always very calm. She knew, you know, the most important thing to her was not winning the argument with Nene. It was just how she looked, you know, and trying to remain professional, whatever. And she actually said,
"Star's there. Nene's there to fight. Star is there to make herself more popular, to raise money for a charity if she possibly can. But you're on that show to raise your popularity, to let more people know who you are. And most people don't like Star. Either don't know Star or don't like Star. The only way we know her is because Tracy Morgan's impressions on Saturday Night Live, where he just kept saying, 'I am a lawyer,' over and over again."
Right. Yeah. Star, I mean, you know, the years that she was on The View, which she was on there for a long time. She was one of the original.
I was running master control at a TV station when The View came on.
Right.
Let me tell you, you know, as bad as The View is and was, it still is far and away better than that The Mommy Show that used to run instead of it. And the Mike and Maddie show before that.
Right. The Mike and Maddie show. You know, I never really watched it because it was on during the day and I work. Mm-hmm. But I think Star definitely started taking some hits whenever she, first of all, had gastric bypass surgery and mm-hmm. wouldn't reveal it. When it, you know, there was all these rumors that she'd had it, but she wouldn't confirm it and basically just said she kind of came out and said she'd lost all the weight just due to diet and exercise. Secondly, when she's planning her big wedding, you know, she had all these sponsors. She'd go on the show. She would talk about all these huge things she was doing. And I think that people became very resentful of that because, you know, most people that were watching the show were stay-at-home moms or just working people in general. And they didn't want to hear all about how she was having this. Because to most people, I mean, me included, people having these big lavish weddings where, you know, $1 million is spent on a wedding is just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is just beyond comprehension that anybody could waste that much money on a wedding.
Especially when you're marrying a dude who's gay and it's going to be over within 6 months.
Exactly. But I mean, even if you're going to be married for the rest of your life, it's still so ridiculously excessive. You know, that money could be spent. I'm not saying, hey, donate that money to charity. But I mean, it just is just beyond our comprehension to ever spend that much money on a wedding. So,
it's like Quinn said on Glee, you know, you can get married as many times as you want, but you only have one chance at your junior prom.
Right. I don't know. So anyway, I'm pretty sure that was the end for her on The View. And it wasn't long after that that they fired her.
Nobody knowing who she was, really, to everybody hating her. Mm-hmm. And so after that, she was gone. And she's, like she says, she's been fired by both of her mentors in the business.
Right. She's just not likable. I mean, she wasn't likable on The Apprentice either. She's very...
But she was more likable than Nene. I think she was. Because Nene was just loud and rude, and that character works for her on Real Housewives.
Okay, between the two of them, who would you want to hang out with?
Pass.
I would hang out with Nene.
I would not hang out with Nene. Because I know at some point Nene, for no reason, would get pissed at me and just start screaming at me, calling me Casper the Friendly Ghost or whatever. I don't know. I do not wish to hang out with either one of them. LaToya would be so much more fun to hang out with.
I agree.
If only she would speak up.
She actually is loud. Did you notice that? That like after she came back
on this show.
After she came back from being fired, she was a little different. She was much more assertive, and she was louder. Mm-hmm. What is it about that Jackson family that they think they all have to talk like Michael Jackson? Janet does it too. I mean, they all like, oh, I gotta talk like a little baby. And
because
I'm so shy.
Because if you raise your voice, Joe will slap your ass down. Daddy is on the phone. Okay, anyway.
Never thought of that. That could be true.
Just anything that goes wrong in the Jackson family they were can only be attributed allowed to the back of somebody's hand.
Speak above a whisper. That kind of makes sense.
Not unless you're singing. Okay, so we go down to the finals, and they sing the song, which is available now on iTunes. I thought it was a nice touch for everybody applauding with the sign language jazz hands at the end of it. I thought that was nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then like 6 commercial breaks later, after Trump whips us into a frenzy, he says, I'm going to do this a little differently. And then he does the same thing he always does. Instead of saying, you're hired, he just says the winner is John Rich. And when he said John Rich, I thought he was going to stop everybody and Marley.
Yeah. I didn't get that at all. I mean, I don't really see that was different.
Mm-hmm.
So, whatever.
Did it make any difference to you? Who won?
No.
Not either. There was no bad guy. There was no good guy. They both raised a lot of money for charity.
I think you and me, and we just disagree.
Exactly. I think they both.
Did you even get that?
I did.
Okay.
That was there ain't no good guy. There ain't no bad guy. There's only you and me, and we just disagree. Was that
the Hollies? I don't know.
Would you mind if I did a chorus of He and Heavy, He's My Brother right now? Can I just whip that out?
Sure.
No, I'm not John Rich. Calm down. I have to borrow a pick. It was a good season. I loved the Busey.
Out of all the seasons, this one was the most entertaining.
By saying that, it makes me think that the other seasons suck top to bottom. I can't. These Celebrity Apprentice is like other reality shows. It's like Big Brother. It's like kind of like Idol in a way. When it's over, it's just like you ate cotton candy. It's like, I don't remember much of anything about this.
Right.
I don't remember.
Did I already say that Donald, I know I did in the last one. I can't remember if I said it this time, but as he opened the show this evening, he says, I delivered the most entertaining cast of contestants or whatever.
Trump's all about the credit.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Like he's responsible for NeNe going apeshit.
Yeah. Well, I think when you book her on the show, you book her because she's going. That's why you book her and not somebody else from one of those reality shows.
Well, that is kind of her MO. She yes. does go batshit crazy right. on people.
Star's lucky she didn't take her behind a Target and beat the crap out of her like she did.
Choke her.
Yeah, choke her out. I'm
not afraid to choke a bitch.
Yeah.
Is NeNe Leakes going to have to choke a bitch?
But you know, every show, there's some people who are on there as cannon fodder. You know, David Cassidy was never going very far. There's some people who are on there just for disruption. NeNe.
Jose Canseco wasn't there tonight either.
He was not either. Nor was Ozzy Canseco for that matter.
As long as he didn't have to take his shirt off, who would know the difference?
If you missed that earlier, just Google it. The Canseco, the twins Canseco, Jose's covered in tattoos. Ozzy is not. And Jose keeps trying to send Ozzy to fight for him at various events. And we were wondering if maybe they had done that on...
wonder why he didn't come back.
I don't know. Maybe they just didn't want him back.
Maybe they'd have to pay him if he.
But here's the thing: we watched the show together, and then we did a podcast on the show earlier, and now we're doing another podcast on the show, and it's just now dawning on us that Jose Canseco was not there.
He wasn't there, and Dion wasn't there.
We forgot Dion earlier.
I think she probably just doesn't like the way she was portrayed on the show, and if at all possible, just didn't come back. She was a bitch.
Jose probably wanted more money to come back. Just from what I've heard about Jose, he's probably selling punches in the face somewhere. Jose is one of those Ric Flairian guys that has made a lot of money and had a lot of bad divorces and lost it, and so he'll be doing something for the rest of his life, basically. You know, retirement. But anyway, so John Rich wins it. Marley Matlin is the runner up. Good show. I will miss having something to do on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be nice to be able to tape, to record Family Guy with. And of course, this I believe is the season ender for it too. So,
True Blood will be back soon, and it's always on Sunday nights.
We might want to do that. We're looking for another thing to podcast about. We'll of course do Big Brother when it returns.
Oh yeah,
yes, that's our favorite.
Of course, it's on like 10 times a week.
Yeah. We'll have to figure out what day would be best to do the Big Brother podcast on because. You know, the Thursday show is live.
I would think 2 days.
What?
2 days.
2 days?
Yeah.
Okay. You're just drunk. Okay. I don't know. I'm sure our buddy Michael Hedrick's going to want in on one of those at least. However many we do. Because, you know, he is the human wiki about these kinds of things.
That's right. And he loves Big Brother, too.
Oh, he does. I actually have found that Showtime show makes me... not value the show as much when I can watch everything at night. And not actually on the show.
Oh, you mean Big Brother After Dark? I agree. I don't
because the Thursday show is the only one that's relevant. The other shows, you know, they're just going to edit them together to show.
But
you
that
something.
Big Brother After Dark, it's one of those things, kind of like you don't really. We didn't really watch it a lot, especially last year. The year before that, I think we watched it more.
I watch it for fistfights and drunken orgies.
Yes.
Really, that's about it.
And it seems like anytime we don't watch it, then that's when something happens and we read about it, like on hamstertime.com or whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, we're looking for new things to continue the podcast. We will have a DonkeyTaco.com podcast up later on this week. Earlier this week would be hard. Later this week, we'll wrap up Idol also, and we'll move on to the next thing. So, 4 seasons of Celebrity Apprentice in the books, and Donald Trump did not run for president, so that's...
Shocking.
He takes a lot of credit for things, doesn't he?
I think that whole birth certificate and I think the Bin Laden thing too just kind of like shut him down.
Yeah. You know, he jumped up and took credit for making Obama release the birth certificate.
The same weekend, then, you know, it's like Bin Laden's killed and it's just like, shit.
Well, I think Trump, for Trump, I'm not saying we couldn't do it because we've done stupider things as parts of a country. But we would have to have the right vortex of idiots all working together to knock themselves out for Trump to have a serious... Yeah, you know, Trump got his publicity, he came out, he said some things, he took credit for stuff that was not going to go his way at all, and he jumped out. You know, that's... When at the end, and this is my last thing here, at the end when he was talking about how many great people, these are the best people that have ever come through this boardroom and been hired. And I just thought to myself, well, how have you wound up in bankruptcy three times? Maybe that's maybe you really should turn your affairs over to Joan Rivers. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the problem.
Maybe.
Yes. All right. That is it for Celebrity Apprentice for this year. We will miss it, won't we?
We will.
That's 2 hours of time we get back, though. So there you go.
God, I know. Why was it always 2 hours?
I don't know. It's like American Idol. You could easily do that in about 45 minutes plus commercials. Yeah, but hey, it's done. All right, more Celebrity Apprentice next season, probably. We'll wrap up Idol with the podcast coming up later on this week. Thanks to everybody for listening to us. For Kimberly Kerr, I'm Reed Kerr. So long, everybody.